just inside the eastern gate. Now me ready for the ground. Please with you let me to play. I will meet you
so good, is he not? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. You want this book?
Just a minute.
Yes. Oh, okay. Look at you. Praise the Lord. We had a good day today. Thank you for taking me out for breakfast. I enjoyed that breakfast. Amen. But I enjoyed also talking with people while I was there.
Amen.
Had a chance to talk with five different men that were down there and spend time with them. And someone says, how do you do that? I just go over. Hi guys, you look like you're working on a construction job someplace. Yeah, we're working on a water main up here. I said, oh, I did that for years. All of a sudden, I'm talking with them, telling them who I was, where I was going to be tonight, the next couple of days. You know, that's something very special that we have to do and we have to learn. And so I'm scared to do that, go up to somebody and talk like that. I never have been. I mean, talked a little bit, or first time I was here about my grandfather and my mother's father. As we went through Norwich, New York, as a young boy, he would always stop people on the streets and talk to them. And he sure loved to get a hold of the Catholic priest. I never knew what was going on, but he would debate with him for 15, 20 minutes there. You know, and I thought to myself, I said, here's a fellow that had to learn to read by himself when he was about 3 years old. Yet here he is, quoting scripture and interested in other people. I'm glad that people are that way. We ought to be interested in other people. And like I said, I got it from him. And my wife will tell you wherever I go, I can usually find somebody to talk to. Amen, Ben. Yeah, I can. Doesn't matter where it is, whether it's in Walmart. You know how I do it in Walmart? When I get to Walmart, I look at the tags on people. I walk up first, call them by name, and say, hi, John. And they'll look at you kind of funny, you know, like, do I know this guy? I said, how are you doing today? Haven't seen you in a long time. Something like that. And I'll get in a conversation with them. Be a good soul winner. You're going to have to do those things. Amen? You're going to have to learn the things that are... Oh, I'm not sure what I'm going to do this week, the whole week. I have something I pondered on doing. And I don't think I ever did that here, but I have a message I do that's called Calloused Christians. My wife knows what it is. Used to do it in a lot of churches. Used to do it in youth camps. I haven't done it in a few years and used that, but I may do it here. Christians get callous because you hear the Word of God constantly. And you get to the point where you get callous and say, oh, I've heard this before. Just a few minutes, the preacher will be over. We go to kind of go to sleep in services. Amen? You ever have anybody do that, Pastor? Seems like they do sometimes. Amen. But as I thought about that, I said, oh, I don't know if I can still do that. It's been a long, long time. But probably I know how to do it, amen? It's a lot of fun. It scares everybody, usually. You bring a torch up on the platform and put a torch up here about that high and have a torch there and you touch it off and have the fire coming out and everybody's, oh, boy, you're in trouble. This preacher's gone nuts. Amen? This lady, she wouldn't sit here. She'd move if I do that. But the guy says, I know some way to get her out of here. We have a lot of fun. I mean nothing. I'm having a good time. Amen. I've done that for years in ministry. Done things and had a lot of fun to be a little different than anyone else. But I want you to know I appreciate your pastor, his wife. You were here. It works. Amen?
Hello.
Let's see. What's that?
Hello, Dominic.
No, that's a long place. Amen. By the way, we have met her. She is a born-again Christian. I don't know if you know about that or not. And she's an interesting person. There's a lot of the people that are in country music are born-again Christians. Some of them don't have a good testimony. But they're still born-again Christians. Jim Ed Brown. Amen? He's a born-again Christian. I had a chance to meet him face-to-face and shake hands with him. Amen? An interesting man. Of course, now he's gone home to be with the Lord. But that's all right. I look forward to seeing him up there again and be singing in the choir. Amen? Along with my wife. I can't sing, right? Never have been a good singer. But I have a lot of fun. Amen. Making a joyful noise under the Lord. Amen. That's all it takes. Don't worry about your voice. Just get up and open up and go. Amen. The 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. if you'll turn there with me. 63rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is really a crux for the Old Testament. It is the Old Testament evangelistic book for you who do not know about it. It probably presents the most central and loftiest prophecy in the Old Testament concerning the sufferings and the glory of Christ, more than 1,000 years after the ascension of Christ, the Jews are still really still giving the Messiah interpretation to this prophecy. Isaiah 53 refers to Christ, and this is the consolation. Boy, I'm having trouble with my tongue today. Conclusion of all the early Christian writers, and is our conclusion today. It is a beautiful, moving portrait, I believe, of what Jesus Christ accomplished for you and I. If you have a memory verse, and we have, when we did this is actually from a Sunday school lesson done October 7th, 1979. About 2 years ago, amen? 2 years ago. But praise the Lord. We do a lot of those, and most of ours go in on paper like this. And they're written on one side, one, and on the other side, one. And we do that, as I know your pastor does some things like that, and appreciate him doing that. Because often I share them with other people. If we had a memory verse, there would be Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You and I can predict accurately and exactly what will happen maybe on a given day next week. But only God can perfectly accurately know what's going on all the time. You and I don't know what's going on all the time. We may plan things and it may not work out right. Amen? Now there's some things I can plan when my wife and I go away from home, and I know it's accurate. I know that my children will call on the phone next morning and start talking to my wife and let us know what's going on. I can be pretty accurate on that. But when you stop and think, if we try to go a month ahead or a couple weeks ahead, we got a problem. We can guess, but probably not real accurately, because different things come into hand here and gets in the way of what we think we're going to do. But God can perfectly and accurately know what's going on all the time, even in the future. He's got it planned. Amen? About 700 years before the birth of Jesus, God gave an accurate, perfectly accurate prediction or prophecy of the events surrounding the life, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. By studying prophecy, especially the prophecy here in the Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, if we study that a little bit, we see a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, did you hear what I said? For us. We really can't do anything for Him in the sense the world is getting to heaven. We have to accept what He's done.
Amen.
And let Him use us in our life. We have to surrender to Him. I tell people many, many times and have given my testimony that I surrendered my life and accepted Jesus Christ in a strange place in a grave site just outside of Norwich, New York. And because there had been an automobile accident, a few months before, December 7th. Can you hear me? Okay, I'll pop a little louder if you want me to. I'll bring this up closer. We'll do that. But amen. But we actually, we had some friends of mine who died in an automobile accident. Calvin Bush, his brother Alvin Bush. Yeah, Donnie Shear was there. Yeah. Any other boy that was there. All of them lost their lives. In that accident, only one person lived through it. That was Alvin Bush's wife. I don't know. It was on December, roads were wet. And they had been doing some things they shouldn't have done. Alvin come home from the army that he was in, stationed out in Rhode Island. He came home and he was there to see his brother and his mother and his father and sisters that were lived just below Norwich. But somehow they got together with some of their families and friends and went halfway between Norwich and Oxford, New York, and there was a place called the Halfway House. They did great meals in there, but they also gave a lot of alcohol. And yes, young people got involved in the alcohol and left there that night. The only thing funny about the whole thing was we were told that Elton Bush did not drink any alcohol that night, but everybody else was. They left there and headed for Norwich. Just below Norwich, where you get in there, there's a turn in the road. Coming up that turn, they had stopped down the road about, for some reason, about a mile and a half down the road from there. And a gentleman that was with them, I won't give his name, but he had a Studebaker Golden Hawk, which at that time period was one of the hot cars, as we would say, when we were younger. And they lined up together and they drag raced going towards Norwich, New York to see who would get there the fastest. Coming into that corner below Norwich, the Golden Hawk did not hold the corner. And it slid over into the Chevrolet that Elvin, his family, Elvin's wife, and the rest of them were there. It slid over into them, and they went into the guardrails. Into those guardrails, through the Chevrolet that they were in was a convertible. Two of them went through the roof of the convertible. Elvin and Jimmy Booksat, killed immediately. The brother Alvin was thrown in the middle of the road. His wife was thrown down over the bank. She was the only one that lived through the full accident. The accident was heard down the road about a quarter of a mile where there was a diner that was there, and a young man came running out of there, saw the accident, started coming running down the road. He came down the road and he found Alvin in the road. Alvin's alive. He reached down and put his arms
hands underneath his arms and tried to pull him out of the road. At that time, a deputy sheriff came around the corner, same corner. He had heard about the accident somebody had reported, and he came around the corner and could not stop his car. Hit the man was helping Alvin out of the road, threw him over 25, 30 feet through the air, and ran right over Alvin. You don't think that'll happen? Something will happen to you in your life. Something happened to me that night. Actually, the next morning when I heard it. And of all the places to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it was by their grace I. Someone said, how did you know enough to do that? I was brought up around it. I knew enough about it, what to do. Thank God for my grandparents. Thank God for my father, who opened the Bible to me and would read the Bible and read books to me. Thank God for my mother, who was a school teacher, who wrote things to us who were Christians. I thank God for that. Amen. I don't know what I've done without that. Someone said, give me the date when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I cannot give you the exact date. I know it was May of that year when I did that, but I don't know exactly when. And I think one of the most amazing things in my life was the change that started taking place in my life. Now, am I perfect? Don't talk to my wife, she'll tell you I'm not. Amen. I'm not perfect. There's one perfect one. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to heaven by what Christ did on the cross. Amen. Not by what I did. I just accepted what he done. And that's really what salvation is. And this is what this talks about here. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The testament of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. We have to realize 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave that perfectly accurate prediction or prophecy about events that were going to take place in the future. The life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. If we study that prophecy there in Isaiah 53 and go through it a little bit, I'll be able to give you some. I can't give it all tonight, I know that. But it's tremendous. In Isaiah 53, verse 2, it says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. In other words, he was the most handsome person in the world. Amen. He was no different than you and I. He is a human being. So many of the pictures they have of Christ, I think they do a lot of harm. Amen. If you read the scripture, we don't know exactly what he looked like. But we do know this, that he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we, now notice this, when we shall see him. Amen. Isn't that great?
Amen.
There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, which he was. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we had hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we redeemed him, esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He went to the cross for you and I in the world. Amen? He didn't do that. Christ didn't have to go to the cross. You realize something? And I hear people say the Jews killed him and the Romans killed him and all these things going on. The Gentiles killed him, the king killed him, you know, and all these. Nobody killed Jesus. You listen to me. He laid down his life freely for you and I. He sacrificed himself for you and me. Nobody could have put him on that cross. Nobody could have done anything to him if he desired not to go there. The reason why he came to this world and was born so that you and I could have peace with God. He died for our sins. Sometimes I get out and I still cry when I think about that. I think about the things I've done in the past, and I think about the things that I did today. I think about being mean to my wife and saying something I shouldn't have said. Of course, you fellows never do that. Amen. You think about that for just a few minutes. Here he is. He's a tender plant. Oh, there's so much you could pitch into this tonight. Jeremiah 22. Amen. Goes along with this. Let's see if I've got that here in just a few minutes. I think it's still in my Bible. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 22, if you'll go there with me. If you have a second, I'll give you a few seconds to get there. Jeremiah 22. There's so much written about him in the Bible that we don't even look at anymore. Jeremiah 22. If you would, look with me to verse 24. Jeremiah 22, verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord, though Coronah, the son Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee hence, and I would give thee unto the hand of them that seek thee thy life, and in the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans, and I would cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, unto another country where you were not born, and there shall you die. But to the land thereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. For this man, Coronah, a despised broken idol, is he a vessel whereon is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into the land which they knew not? This is talking about the Jewish people. Amen. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. I want to share something with you here, something. Amen. You hear people today, and I just looked at this today myself, told my wife about it. You realize there are a lot of lies going on about Jesus, about him being married to Mary Magdalene and having children. What about this 31st? Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. There it is, amen. Wouldn't have any children. Amen. Read it. It's right there in Scripture. You know our false things today. We don't study Scripture. Amen. We don't go through it. I enjoy being up here by myself. My wife will tell you, spend a lot of time in the Bible, studying and doing different things. Oh, you know, it's so many things. It's so much here. So many things that we need to do in our life and to spend more time in the Word. Here we are. The virgin birth, yes. A tender plan in Isaiah 53:2 and Jeremiah 22:24-30 and 36:27-31, Revelation 21-6. Well, on we could go. A root out of a dry land, Isaiah 53:2. And strange appearance, born like no other man has ever been born and ever will be born. That is a strange appearance, isn't it, in this world? Think about that as we walk around this world. Think about it. We could think about the sufferings of this man in Isaiah 53:3-7. It talks about the suffering he went through, and I'll not get into all this because it would spend me forever to do it. We wouldn't get out of here until 2 o'clock in the morning if we took all these. And some of you want to get, so I'm not going to give you scripture after it. He was a man of sorrows. He was a man that people looked at and scoffed constantly. In my ministry over my years, I've had people laugh at me. I've had people say, well, where'd you get that from the Bible? I've never found it. If I did this someplace, they'll say, where'd you find that from the Bible? But you know what I tell them? I come to the place, I say to them, read the Bible.
Amen.
That's my answer to them anymore. Read the Word, study. Because all they're saying is, well, I haven't studied the life of Jesus. I haven't studied it like I should have been. But once in a while, when I get reading about the life of Christ, I actually cry. And my wife will tell you I'm not a person that cries an awful lot. But I can just read the Bible and think what he went through. And he did that for me. He did it for you. He sacrificed himself for you and for us, that you and I might have that place in him. Because he loved us. Did you know that you never can show me in any place, and I've asked people about this, you cannot find any place in the Bible where once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he leaves you. The Holy Spirit, once he comes in, amen? You are his. Amen? There's another thing that we can't find in the Bible. Amen? That's something man drew up. That's something they get in these new Bibles and they put in there. No. Jesus comes and lives into us in the form of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen? He'll guide you. He'll love you. He'll forgive you. He'll help you along the way. People's confidence. His suffering, I can't even imagine the suffering of a cat of nine tails with metal stones and everything into you being beaten like he was beaten. Most people don't realize that when they want to crucify somebody, they would whip them first. They'd make them bend over like this, and the whip would go around with that glass and that stone into it, and it would go around them and wrap around that body, and many times they would never go to the crucifixion because that body, that metal, would tear there up to such an expense that the inward parts of their body would actually fall out and they would die there. We need to know these things to pass them on to people. He sacrificed. And then after all of that, because he didn't die there, and by the way, he should never have had to go to the cross, because if you didn't die with one, they usually let you go. But being it was Jesus Christ, because he who he claimed to be, they took him on up to the cross. He carrying that cross by himself after he'd been beaten in such a tremendous way. And boy, we gripe in Rome because we get our hand hurt a little bit. Amen? Because we stub our toes because, oh, I bumped my head. I got a bump on my head right here. I got a scar on my head right on my side of my head down through here you can look at. And every once in a while I go to my barber and he says, boy, that scar is still there. He said, where did you get that? I said, when I was a very young boy, about 3 or 4 years old, I went to my grandfather's house and I walked in the back of the garage in his house. And on that garage, on the wall, he had his saws hung up. Two man butt saws. Now, anybody know what I'm talking about? That you cut a tree down with. And I go in through that, and I hit one of those with my shoulder. And that came down and hit me right on the head. Split my head open, amen. My grandmother came out, my mother came out. They both grabbed me and took me in the house, stuck me underneath the sink, washed my head off. I never went to a doctor. They did all of that right in the house and took care of me, and I healed back up. Of course, I probably don't have everything here that used to be there, amen? That maybe should be there. Maybe that's the reason why I'm a little simple in the way I do things. But I thought about that and how that hurt me once in a while. And I thought about Christ, what he must have went through. And then to be hung on that cross. After all that, you know, nothing's happened to me in my life that was anywhere close to that. I think about that. His suffering. Yes, he was a man of sorrows. They scoffed at him. He suffered a violent death. Isaiah 53:8-9 talks about that. A man cut down, and then he had a grave with the wicked in Isaiah 53:9. He wasn't laid in a grave where other Christians were. He was laid in a tomb, but not so many good people. Of course, the greatest thing is I like, they couldn't keep him there. Amen. You'll never stop Jesus. You'll never stop God. Amen. By the way, people are all worried about what's going on over across. And I gave that, my first message I gave here, I talked about when I was talking about the ISIS and the group that's over there and how they, where they came from. Why they're mad at us today. They're still mad at us. Amen. They're going to be mad at us because they hate Christians. They don't like us. Amen. Did you know what? I don't really worry about them. You know the reason why? My Lord is returning. Oh, shout hallelujah. Amen. Is he coming?
Amen.
Amen. You don't think he can take care of that? Read Matthew 24. Amen. Read Matthew 24. He served. Jesus went through such a violent death. Isaiah 53:8 says he was a man cut down. Cut down. He had a grave with the wicked. Isaiah 53:9. Yet he himself had a record that is unblemished. You can't find a spot in his life where Christ committed any sin. Where he didn't, well, he didn't hurt anybody. Amen? But then the victorious resurrection in Isaiah 53:10-11, he rose. Amen? Here's that old song, Up from the Grave, He's a Rolling Stone. Amen. I love those old songs. Amen. I love those old songs. That's the ones I was brought up on. See, my family's a little crazy. We don't have it today. But you get the Scotch side of my family and the Irish side of my family together when I was a young boy. And got the Indian side of the family together. And we all got together. They'd come in with their fiddles, not violins, fiddles, amen. Their juice harps. And then we would have a hoedown with no strangers in, no alcohol, amen. And just have a good time. I learned to waltz when I was about 3 years old. You know who I learned to waltz with? My grandmother. Amen. She showed me how to waltz. I love that. I love those things. I still love music. But that's what my family did. They like things like that. And there's nothing wrong with good music, amen? But the places where we go to get our music, the style of music that's out there, amen? And who's putting it out? Faith. Amen. That's exactly it. It's faith. Amen. We got to remember. And I love this. Oh, the results. Did you know Isaiah 53 verse 12? It says that he completed his task, what he came here to do. What's your and my task in this life? You know, God has a plan for everybody that's here.
Amen.
For everybody up on the face of this earth. What's your task? My task over the years has been a lot stranger than most pastors. I traveled all over New York State when I was a young pastor, my wife will tell you, helping churches get started. Buckley Road Baptist Church. Brother Dan Smith's up there now, a good friend of mine. But I remember the man that came into Syracuse and started that church, not over. Talked to him on the phone about 3-4 months ago. He's not very good physical shape. He called me on the phone one day and he says, Brother Hinman, we've got a building up here in Syracuse, an old school building, but I need the water turned on and I can't figure out how to do it. I left the house one morning, went up there with some tools, got up there, there's an old well out in front of the school. Went in the building, looked at the faucets that were in a terrible place. Went out, went down in that well about 50 feet deep. No rope. You put your feet up against one side of the well and back against the other side. You just go down the well. Hooked down to the pump and pulled it up out and then got it working and put it back in. Got the water running in the building for them. I've done that all over the Northeast for churches. I told Dan Smith that one day and he turned and he looked at me. He said, I was here, I put the main sewer system in for the Buckley Road Baptist Church into the city. He tied it in. When Ray Buckley was up there. Did you know, I couldn't do that if it wasn't like God's plan for me. God has a plan for you, He has a plan for your children and every born-again Christian. But sometimes we won't do like God wants us to do. We are a stubborn lot of people. Do you know you got Christians that will not tithe? And wonder they're in trouble. Like I said, you know, the world ties to Satan all the time. When they drink alcohol, when they take drugs, what do you think that money goes to Satan's crowd? Amen? Back to somebody else. I'm not so interested in what happened to Christ is done. But you know what? I'm glad that he had is always victorious. And I'm just waiting for him to return. But you know, when he returns, I want to be found busy doing something for God. Somebody asked me when I was going to retire. Well, I retired for the plumbing heating trade for, oh gosh, how long ago? Back 15 years ago? Because I had 50 years doing that. And I said it was time to retire from that trade. It's a hard trade. But I let many, many people to the Lord Jesus Christ through that trade. My son now, David, doing the same thing. And you know what? That's a result of what Christ did on the cross for me. That's the reason why I do that. I stopped this morning over to talk to those men down in the diner down here. You know the reason why? That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Did I know of them? I've never met one of them as far as I know in my life. But you know what? If I meet him again, he'll know who I am. But you see, it isn't meeting me that's important. It's for me to introduce them to Jesus Christ as a Savior. But you know, I found one of those young men today that I talked to who said he was Christian. I invited him up to services. I don't know if he'll come or not, but you know what? If I get time enough tomorrow morning, I'll get out and see if he's there and I'll talk to him again. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's all about. This is one of the best areas in Scripture. I know there's so many others. And we can make it more exciting and things like that in your preaching, but sometimes we get going so fast in our preaching, people can't understand what we're doing. And somebody says, well, I don't know what you're about. You know what they used to book me as when I was a young preacher? The country preacher, the farmer preacher. I went to Albany, New York. Amen? The preacher that was up there at the time, he says, I want a picture of you with a pair of cover calls standing under a tree out in the pasture, and I'm going to book you as an old-time preacher. Guess what I went to Albany at? Amen? And with a pair of cover calls. I took my wife with me. And I preached that day. Boy, did I let loose. We had 300 people in that church that day. Brother Ed, you would be like me to that day if you're sitting out in the pew. You didn't let go for a long time. When it got all done, we had an invitation. The altar was full. I mean, I've never been had a service like that before in my life. I went down to the altar because there was one man who was weeping and crying his heart. Went down off the altar, there were other altar workers there. If you want to know who that was, called Bob Adrian. Amen. It was his church in Albany then. He's out in Kansas City now. And I went down to that man and I talked with him and he was crying his heart. I introduced him to Jesus Christ, prayed with him. When we got all done, he got up and put his arms around me and gave me a big hug. And he made this statement. He said, I'm a multimillionaire. I have a a blacktop factory in Albany here, just outside Albany. He said, if there's ever anything you want in the face of this earth, you call me on the phone and I'll make sure you get it. I never called it. I even threw it away. You know the reason why? I don't depend on God. I'm man. I depend on God to provide for me. It would have been easy to do that. I meant to start a church from any place I wanted to with that amount of money. But you know what? God has helped me get involved in over 13 churches getting started in the last 50 years. Am I better than someone else? No, I don't know why God does it. It's for somehow God gave me the ability to talk with people, to love people, sometimes to love the unlovable, the dirty, the people of the streets sometimes. I don't know how many alcoholics I've led to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can think of our singer. Amen. Ty Manley. Alcoholic. He was drinking one night. No, this is put after this. But he was drinking one night and his wife called me on the phone and said, "Pastor, my husband's over in such a place. Yeah. Would you possibly go and get him and bring him home?" He was an alcoholic. I know where he'd be. I don't think preachers ought to do this, amen. But I went because his wife wanted me, because I'd been dealing with him. And I went into that fire room. And the man that actually was there happened to be a person that worked in construction with me, and he knew exactly who I was. And when I came, he did like that. I didn't know where he was. He knew what I was there for. My wife liked that guy really good because he had one of the fanciest beards on to him that was in there. And he wasn't an alcoholic either, but he was there. I don't know why he was there. Was he cleaning up or working? He was an electrician. I don't know what he was doing. But he knew what I was there for. And I went over to Ty, and I said, "Ty, I say to need, I need you to go take you home. The wife wants you home." He said, "Okay." I took him out of the room, took him to out by his car, and he went to his car and started to reach his car. And I said, "Ty, you're not going to go in your car." I said, "I'm going to take you home." He said, "You're going to stop me driving my own car." And I said, "Ty, you have a choice. You can either get in my car with me, and I'll take you home, because I know there's police are right down the street. Because somebody has already turned you in." I said, "I know they're going to pick you up just as you go out of here." And I said, "You can either get in the car, or I'll pick you up and put you in the car." He said, "Okay." He got in the car, took him home. And he and his wife got the coffee in them, and I don't know, 3 or 4 hours later, we got him sober enough so I could deal with him. God bless him. He accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Ty didn't live a long time after that because he had been drinking so many years in his life. But I can remember them talking about him being in the hospital in Syracuse, New York. And what he would be doing singing there, he'd be singing hymns. And he was a little man with one of the biggest bass voices you ever heard in his life. I loved to hear him sing. He could have sung in any quartet, made him sound good. You know, there are privileges of being a pastor that you may not know of, or being a witness to the Lord and sharing it with people. And I'm not after anyone. I know this. I've seen people die in automobile accidents. I've gone down a hill down by Monticello, New York. My daughter in the back of the car, and my wife sitting in the car with me. a tractor trailer coming down that hill and gone into super overdrive and lost their brakes and no place for me to go. Sign on the road said construction at the bottom of the hill. My wife would tell you, thank God I had a big old Ford Windsor with a big engine into it. I had no place to go, cars all over the place. I actually ran cars off on the corner on my shoulder coming down through behind, tooting my horns, no place to go. Got clear down the bottom of the hill, and here's this little man, older man in a car, small car. I tried to get him out of the road. I couldn't do it. I ran over right up beside him and forced him off the road like that, okay? Really? See if I wake her up anytime. And forced him off the road, and by that time, that tractor trailer was right out of my bag. I floored that car for everything it was worth. He hit me in the back of the car. I still believe to this day the angels, because the car went sideways, and then all of a sudden, it just like somebody picked it up, straightened it up. My wife would tell you there were construction people going in every direction, trying to get away. They saw what was coming down the road. We went up the other side of that hill down there almost a half a mile before we got that tractor trailer stopped. I stopped when I saw him stopping, got out of my car, and he was frozen. He didn't know what to do. And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden the tractor trailer starts going backwards. And I'm out there and I'm hollering and doing like this. Finally, he woke up enough and he jackknifed it back into the bank. And I said, thank you, God. My wife wasn't hurt. My daughter wasn't hurt. My wife says construction people were running every which way when they heard me coming tooting on the horn. They looked and saw what was going on. They were getting out of the way. I didn't have time to look at them. I went down to the guy in the tractor trailer, and I crawled up on the side of the tractor trailer, and I said, are you all right? And he looked at me and says, am I all right? Are you all right? I said, yes, I'm all right. My family's all right. We have Jesus. We witnessed that young man about Jesus Christ, amen? State troopers came up. People from downhill, the construction workers came up, handed me a piece of paper with their name and their address and their telephone numbers on it. Trooper came up, asked me if I was all right, and I said, yeah. He said, boy, he said, that's amazing. I said, no, it's of the Lord. You know what? Opportunities in our life that we leave aside because we're so concerned. I could tell you stories in construction the same way. All kinds of stories. Somebody says, are they true? Yes, they are. That poor truck driver came in all the way from Canada, overloaded, and somehow he snuck through all the back roads to get clear down there. And I know the state trooper, I know about the poor guy who's never had a license in New York State again. But you know what? That's not important. My important was that I was able to give him a track and witness about Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. Opportunities, amen? Whatever state we're in, therefore be content, amen? We get so frustrated in our lives and so upset in our lives about something, we don't think about winning somebody to Christ. We don't think about what they're going through. Now someone says, well, that's different. I've never heard anything like this. Well, listen to me. Every preacher's different. Amen? If you want somebody like everybody else, we'll find you somebody, amen? But I'm not like everybody else in the movie. Never have been. I don't get better in my life, but I use the same stories over and over again. You come back because they work and because they're true. You come back to my life. You live with me. John, the third chapter. Amen? John, the third chapter. We'll talk about God. We'll talk about how about that? Amen? Brother Ed, you come on up. Whatever you want to do.
All right. Songbook 3:08. You can acapella this and be fine. Just the first and the last verse. I surrender all. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the message. Isaiah 53 talks about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Boy, it's good to know Him. And tomorrow you're going to talk to somebody who does not know Him.
That's right.
And so let's just be conscious of what we heard here tonight and appreciate the message. 308, let's stand, sing a hymn of invitation. While we're singing, let's surrender. Praise the Lord. All to Jesus I